Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
For joining us for your ROH and TNA post show here on Fightful today. We thank you so much for being here. It is Thursday, September 26th, and we've got an episode of ROH to talk about here. We do feel like we're back to some of our old ways, but I think a better week than last week for sure. I think there was a little bit more substance and some returning ROH talent from kind of the days of yore that I was very excited to see on this. But please get in your super chats if there's anything that you would like to discuss about tonight, about ROH, about how SP3's list was the perfect guide to that Danielson and Nigel McGuinness match from last week. Really, really good stuff. So many notes that you mentioned that I saw show up in that match, which was so special. I was so excited to be there. Grand Slam was a great, great time. Very cool to see fellow ROH stan Kimmy Sokol there. Very nice to see the old boss Sean there as well. So a lot of fun was had, but a lot of fun to be had tonight. So please leave a thumbs up on this video. We'll also take a moment to remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the biz. Some news about Saraya's contract being renewed just went up there earlier today. So head over to FightfulSelect.com. It is a crazy contract year. It's still a crazy contract season, even coming down these burr months, as the white girls say. We've got a lot of contracts still outstanding, but joining me as always, to bring all the fun, to bring all the knowledge, to bring all the analysis, to bring all the lists, is SP3. SP3, how are you today?
I am doing wonderful. I did not go to my first Grand Slam in, what, like 2 years, so I missed the opportunity to tailgate with Kate last year. That was a good time last year, but I am here to talk some Ring of Honor, and yes, we have another list this week, because when Ring of Honor only gives us 1 hour, it gives me a whole hour to come up with a list. Also, I've been catching up on the Visigrand documentary, which I'm up to episode 4 now. And okay, I literally paused it as they're talking about the whole Owen Hart, and I'm just like,
oof.
Well, I was like, I gotta change my whole mind state.
I'm sure. I haven't watched it. I feel like the net of a lot of what I've been seeing is that Vince McMahon built an empire on a lot of abuse and toxic behavior at best. Really,
and he wasn't loved as a child. Which explains a lot.
Sure. There's a lot of people that weren't loved as a child and don't go this route, but all right.
I'm just saying, some people, you know, get therapy or have people in their life that they actually can talk to, and they improve on their life instead of trying to drag people down to that level. But that's Mr. Grant for you. But we're not here to talk about that. We're talking about honor, which he doesn't have any of.
Correct.
That. So we are only talking about honor and Ring of Honor. So yes, I have another list for us this week. And because of our talk last week, where we talked about how Ring of Honor, the biggest nitpick, the biggest complaint that we had about last week's episode is they had someone on their roster who made history, which they didn't even mention, which this week they did mention. So I'll give them that. They did mention it. They did have her on this show, but I don't think they did enough
they to celebrate. They definitely did not.
To celebrate the milestone that was Athena becoming the longest reigning Ring of Honor champion in the company's history. So that's what me and Kate are here for. So this week I'm giving you the top five best Athena Ring of Honor Women's World title matches of this illustrious reign.
I love that. I love that. That'll be a very, very fun list to go down. Our forever champ, Athena, the glue of this whole era for sure. Definitely not doing enough to call attention to her accomplishments at all. Like, thank God for Ian Riccaboni, because he's the only person that has mentioned it even in passing. There should have been a full-on celebration for this. It's the longest ROH title reign in history. A really disappointing and, to be harsh, but fair, pathetic acknowledgement of Athena. Not on Ian's part. I'm very glad that he mentioned it at all, but there should have been a segment and there should be way more fanfare about it on social media. The fact that this is now a women-centric brand is something that we've been trying to beat the drum of. Them not doing enough to recognize that their own accomplishments essentially is really, 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 really lame. But we're going to get into all of that the more. SP3 is going to celebrate. I know that much. We're going to have a great list, but let's get us started here. We have Action Andretti and Tony Deppen, which made me so happy to see Tony Deppen here. I wish they would. There's some people from that old crop that we've seen on here that I wish they would make a part of the promotion again. And I don't just mean Jonathan Gresham, though it feels very weird that he's in TNA Impact and like was an Octopus and now isn't. I don't really know what's going on with that, but like Tony Deppen for sure, Cheeseburger, LSG, Eli Isom. Like, I would love to see those guys kind of return, because that was an era that I was invested in, and they're great talent that you know, I feel like could be really reliable, which is something that they could use in such a wayward product. But very nice to see Tony Deppen back here. To be honest, thought he had a much better showing than Action Andretti, but not surprising, because Tony Deppen is a very, very high work rate kind of wrestler. That isn't a knock on Andretti as much as it is an uplift of what Tony Deppen can do. But no rust on that guy showing up back at the ROH brand. I thought he was excellent in this. He does take the pinfall to that split-legged moonsault. I understand what seemingly Chris Jericho and AEW saw in Action Andretti. I don't know if I've seen it built upon. Like, I don't know how much Action Andretti has really improved from the time he came in until now. And that maybe is something that ROH should be for wrestlers, is a place to kind of unlock those things and figure it out. But I think it's partly hampered because he's sometimes in top flight and sometimes a singles wrestler. Like, I think it's hard to improve as a wrestler when the creative is so inconsistent from week to week for this guy. And I think they're going to stunt a lot of their future talent if that's the case. Like, that's a really, really, really unfortunate symptom of what's going on here, is that this place that should be a breeding ground for improving wrestlers is kind of a place for stagnation. That's not to say there aren't wrestlers getting over. Look at what's going on with the Outrunners and things like that. But I always go back to, it's a frustrating product to watch when it's this inconsistent. The talent deserve better. And I don't just mean from they deserve to have builds into title matches. I also mean in stuff like this. So it's unfortunate, but it was a decent little opener. Deppen looked great. Action Andretti looked solid enough. The split-legged moonsault always looks really impressive. To nobody's surprise, my favorite Andretti match that I've seen so far was ZSJ and him catching him into that. Oh, it was so much fun. So much fun. But I feel like a lot of Action Andretti matches are opponent dependent at this point, and that's a hurdle he needs to climb. What did you think of our opener here?
Yeah, actually, Andrade is not going to kind of be like the lead in a lot of these matches, but he had someone that he could work well with here. Sure. I thought Tony Dempin, he's just so smooth and fluid in the ring. I made a mistake on Twitter. He was never signed to the Sinclair era, which is not my mistake. It's honestly the Sinclair era of Ring of Honor. How he was a former television champion. He was a part of that that stable with Homicide in them at the end of the Ring of Honor run with Sinclair. So how was he not signed? So that's their mistake, not really mine.
Not at all.
He was one of my favorites at that time, and I loved seeing him back here because Tony Deppen is just so good at what he does in the ring, but he's also a good character as well. And I've seen more of that on his GCW run with his ability to kind of play the heel and get under the skin of not just his opponent, but the fans. And he does that very well. So he's someone that I could see, like, even if it's just an ongoing kind of thing, or not really kind of him being the kind of the standout and getting a push himself, but someone that can work with kind of the young talent that is signed to Ring of Honor and AEW. I think that he can be useful in that role. And he was useful here in giving Action Andretti one of his better kind of singles matches that we've seen in a while. And I 100% agree with what you said. Like, Action Andretti has kind of been a victim of AEW's kind of change from, the AEW of 2019 to 2021, where it always looked like they had a clear plan. Like, you always go back to, like, their world title scene at that time of going from Jericho to Moxley to Kenny Omega to Hangman Adam Page. You kind of saw that from the very beginning, that was where they were going, that it was eventually going to get to Hangman Adam Page. And I feel like ever since then, when it went from Hangman Adam Page to CM Punk, that was kind of a personification of things are changing and it's not a long-term plan. Like, CM Punk being the world champion wasn't a long-term plan because they signed him and then they're eventually like, well, he's the top star, let's put the world title on him. But they never had like a clear plan following that. Maybe they had, CM Punk dropping the title to
your audio cut out on me. Now you're back, but you're in a different mic, I think. You're a little fuzzier, but I can hear you, so that's good. Oh, there you are.
There you go. Yeah.
Looking good. Sounding good. Killing it.
Well, yeah. Hey, at least my computer didn't restart like last week. So
that's true. Hey, I am not one to criticize about internet issues, so
I think that was the point where, like, they changed from having like a long-term plan with anything, with their main storyline or anybody, to kind of just going from week to week. And I think that's been like that why a lot of people have been like, not as much of a fan as they were of AEW into like 2022. And then compounding on that was Tony Khan purchasing ROH and not really giving ROH to somebody else. I feel like it's okay for Tony Khan to own ROH, but him booking all of this, AEW and ROH, when most of his attention and focus is going to go to AEW, ROH is just like kind of an outlier. It does feel a lot of times like it's AEW Dark again, or ROH Dark, or ROH Velocity at some point. So if he kind of has a plan outside of, Athena being Ring of Honor Women's World Champion and never being able to cross over to the AEW brand, unlike every other AEW champion, ROH champion is able to be on AEW television except for Athena. It's not Athena, not any of the women's champion, because Billy Starks, Red Velvet, they haven't been on AEW television either. Nope. But we can get Lee Moriarty on AEW television. We can get Mark Briscoe on AEW television more than he is
Sammy
on ROH Guevara television. Mara
and Dustin Rhodes doing. They had to have a recap on this show to tell you what was going on with the tag title pictures, because everything that's happening with the tag titles is happening on AEW, not ROH. So we are going to talk about that more, but I agree with you. What I would also say from an overall criticism of the AEW standpoint, it feels like they have a lot of hours of television and they care about two of them. I think the Rampage and Collision expansions were not healthy calls, and it has felt like I really liked Collision there for a while, and I don't just mean the Punk era. I mean when we were getting FTR versus Bullet Club Gold for 58 minutes, and it was one of the best tag matches I'd ever seen. It used to be that Collision had, like, at least one banger that I was talking about into the next week, and now it's just like, this is where we go to squash ROH talent. Like, it's not great anymore, so...
I enjoyed the going from Punk to the Bryan era when Bryan had his feuds with Ricky Starks, or even earlier this year when Bryan was basically building up to his Eddie Kingston and Zack Sabre Jr. matches versus like Hechicero and Shibata on Collision. That was good stuff, but like now it's like, you're absolutely right. He only cares about Dynamite, and then everything else is, oh, just make some matches. Who's here? Okay, that's the match. Who's going to be at this tape? Oh, that's the match. So, like, yeah, I think that the expansion of getting Ring of Honor, the expansion of having Collision, because at one point, I really enjoyed Rampage. Rampage was just a third hour of AEW. You got
Rampage. Yeah, like, it used to be...
We had Lucha Bros and Young Bucks on Rampage until, 2022. Like,
we had, like, a lot of the Regal stuff was taking place on Rampage. Like, Mox and Danielson got set up on Rampage. It does feel like...
Mox and Willie Yuta's breakout matchup.
I mean, and so that's... I think if Shockwave becomes a thing, Rampage goes away. But they need to learn how to assign equal weight to... all of the programming that they have, and they also have to learn how to tell stories across all three brands or separate rosters. They have to choose an alley, because if ROH is your fourth most important thing and it's having this kind of flow up where it's like the Outrunners are the most popular people in the Casino Gauntlet for whatever reason, like, you have to create some sort of consistency, some sort of throughway. And yeah, to your point, the fact that Athena is never allowed out of the ROH box and ROH is her witness protection program for some reason is ridiculous. It gets very, very old. Very, very old. But we will move on here. And I see a lot more of you are tuned in now, so I'm going to repeat my beginning of the show plugs. I'm sorry for those of you who are OGs who have been here since the beginning of this episode. But we will remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com real quick. The news about Saraya went up. There's plenty, plenty more to come. The news, of course, about MVP being signed to AEW and all the implications for Grand Slam and what that might look like. Also on FightfulSelect.com, plenty of action in the Discord as well. You can join our Discord for a nice, like, moderated and safe environment to discuss. And in addition to that, you get tons and tons of other value on FightfulSelect.com. You get Sean's Q&A and backstage report back there. You get me and Alex Pawlowski doing pay-per-view post shows behind the paywall, alternative to what is on the main channel. So lots of fun to be had over there for $5. And hey, it goes back to support all of us. So thank you to Sean for working very hard so that I can goof off here on Thursdays with SV3. But we will also ask you to leave a thumbs up on this video and to touch tips in the comments, even though MXM aren't really on ROH right now. We still touch tips here. We touch tips here. Like this.
That was the fastest like graduation from Ring of Honor to AEW we've ever seen.
It really was. Like they and the Outrunners caught fire in a very a different way that I think wasn't anticipated. Yeah. So good for them. But we do miss them around these parts. But we will move along on this episode. Get in those super chats if there's anything you want to talk about. But we get a quick promo from the Iron Savages, which was definitely filmed at the Texas tapings because they're literally referencing the highways in Texas for this. And they call out the Outrunners and they call them Meat Riders and say that they would stop at nothing to stop the Outrunners' momentum. This is what I'm talking about. Like, the Iron Savages and the Outrunners have this feud that's been kind of building, but the Outrunners feel like they're, like, primed and ready for a title shot sometime soon against the Young Bucks, like, with the way that they have gotten over in their few appearances on the main. So they need to separate the rosters again for this reason, like, overall ROH criticism. How can you build anybody in ROH if they keep leaving to go to the AEW, which they need... like, main roster tag teams. MXM needs to be up there. The Outrunners need to be up there. GYV needs to be up there. But it means we have no contenders for the tag titles for Dustin and Sammy. It means we have no contenders for the trios title, which the Von Erichs aren't allowed out of Texas, as we've discussed previously on this show. They have to be the Van Erichs and take a van across state borders. But outside of that, this was perfectly fine. I'm still struggling to settle in a little bit to trying to be serious badasses with this very goofy gimmick. Like, when you're serious and badass, but you're talking about Titty City and being meat riders, like, I don't know if they've struck the balance yet. I'm not saying it can't be done, but for me, it feels a little bit like they're trying to play in two worlds, and it would be more beneficial if they focused on one. I don't know if you feel the same way or if this is working for you.
No, it's not working for me. And even if it was, the next matchup just made me be like, so why did y'all give him the promo then? Why did y'all build them up?
The editing of this past month or so has been so off kilter.
Oh my God, this was the worst case of it, because I'm like, at first I'm like, okay, they have a match next. So obviously they're going to win the match because they're building up this feud with the Outrunners. Then immediately I'm thrown off by the announcement that the next match is Boulder and Jack Jameson. I was like, wait, that's not his usual partner. Nope. So why?
But he was out there.
He was out there. He didn't look injured. He didn't look injured to me. Maybe he is. I don't know. But I was very much confused by that. And then they're versus Dark Order. I'm like, well, Dark Order is kind of over. Okay, this is an interesting match because I don't know who you're going to put over here. But it makes sense for the Iron Savages to win because they're in an actual feud and Dark Order isn't. But
sure,
let's talk about it.
Let's talk about that match for sure. We do have, as SP3 stated, for some reason, it's Jack Jameson in the ring with Boulder. I'm wondering if this was just like weird taping schedule stuff or availability stuff, but against Reynolds and Silver, and you get the wombo combo on Jack Jameson. Maybe that's what it was. They wanted Jameson to maybe take the pin instead. In a decent enough match, my notes say Dark Odor, which is very funny. Thanks to autocorrect on that. But Evil Uno and Boulder are at ringside for this. That would be a really fun singles match if they wanted to set that up out of this. Like, that would have been kind of cool. But to your point, why is the Dark Order beating them if they're supposed to be the ones getting kind of elevated in this feud? This goes back to my issue with who is in the trios division and who is in the tag division, because the Dark Order should be making headway in the trios division, in my opinion. I don't know why you keep Evil Uno out of the ring. But yet another case, a terminal case of great match. What is the direction here? Like, we say it so often. This one's even more perplexing than usual. But what were your thoughts on this?
I was so baffled. I was like, at the end of this matchup, which was a pretty decent matchup, I was like, yeah, this is a decent stuff. It's a match, you know, I always give a thumbs up with, you know, matches where I don't automatically know who's going to win, which is the theme with AEW and ROH. I think I know 90% of the time who's sure. going to win the matchup. So I did not know who was going to win the matchup. So a thumbs up in that regard. But that's the only thumbs up this match gets because of the result. I'm like, why did we have an interview with the Savage Sauce guys, like Iron Savages? Like, what was the point? Because I thought you were building a feud with the Outrunners. The Outrunners just seem so far ahead of you guys. Like, they shouldn't even be feuding with you at this point because they are one of the most over tag teams in all of AEW. They need to be going on to either feuding with GYV or going immediately to the Young Bucks for the AEW World Tag Team Champions. They've bypassed even, you know, contending for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles, let alone versus a team that I legit don't remember the last time I saw the Iron Savages beat a non-jobber team. I don't remember AEW, Ring of Honor, they are usually the team that loses to a team that is either on their same level or above them. I saw them lose like in 10 minutes to the Acclaim at the All Out Zero Hour. I see them lose here against Dark Order. Why is Outrunners even spending time with y'all? Why are y'all building this feud? The Outrunners have bypassed Ring of Honor to me. Like, what are we doing?
I also feel like, while I like an unpredictable result, there's a difference between you've sewed layers into a feud that I don't know who's going to win, and your creative is so bad I don't know who's going to win. Like, there's a difference between it's unpredictable because you've told a story that's compelling that could go either way, and you've told such a backwards and confusing thing that the promo before has nothing to do with a match I'm seeing, so it's unpredictable in that way. Like, I love unpredictable matches. I would prefer they be good and unpredictable in that way. Not that the match quality is bad, that the creative to get you there is confusing. Yeah. But I feel like Dreepy saying, wear deodorant to get rid of the dark odor. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. That's a struggle for wrestling fans, my friend. I was at Arthur Ashe yesterday. I should know. But Meet Norma saying, hello, bruvs, let's crank. Is ROH going to be the silly worker tag division? Because as long as the youngest men alive win the titles, I'm here for it. As long as the youngest men alive win the titles. This is the problem. And it's honestly a good problem for the teams to have. FightfulSelect.com reported best $5 in the biz that it was believed that the Outrunners were signed, even though they haven't like gotten the graphic. I believe MXM is signed to some deal. I don't know if it's per appearance or if it's a full-time deal, but I think they were supposed to be like cornerstones of the ROH side. And then between the need in AEW for more tag teams and how much they caught fire, like, I love MXM because I love those guys, but also once they had the vision and their own control to execute what they wanted to do with it, as opposed to where they previously worked, you can see how much more sense it makes with this character. Yeah. There's a really fun thing coming up on Collision for you guys on Saturday that I got to see yesterday with them. That was wildly silly and fun. But like the ship poster hip talk mixed in with the MXM like model gimmick has really, really resonated. There is something in every segment they have that I will say this. I think WWE is really good at this, and I think AEW could improve on this. There is something in every segment those guys have that sticks with you and gets talked about online. That is something that I think WWE has a strength where if it's not something that's completely forgettable, which they have their fair share of that, like the really great ones leave you with something that you remember every single time. Like there's always something in a Becky Lynch promo pretty much that I remember her saying, right? MXM has done that on the comedic side extremely well. I would love to see other teams step up their promo game. That's something like I think that the Iron Savages are a great example of, right? Like they give really solid promos. I don't know if there's anything I take away from them that I'm carrying into the next week or whatever, or anything that I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so noteworthy. Like let's have some buzz around it, right? So I think that separation of how over they've gotten, plus the need for AEW tag teams to rebuild that division, it feels like they kind of skipped a step. It feels like they kind of skipped a step. But there's no excuse for that because, like, the infantry is great and they've been working their ass off most weeks there. Like, there's no reason Sami and Dustin should have those titles. It's absolutely pathetic. Like, and that is no shade to either of them. I actually think Sami's been really good in this return run. And I think Dustin is legend for a reason. This is ridiculous that both sets of belts are getting held hostage. But any thoughts on that, SP3?
And it's the fact that you have Sami and Dustin as the champions, and there are literally, like, no heel tag teams that they're even building up to challenge them.
Like, that's why I thought MXM was a slam dunk, was because they're very funny, but they're heels.
Yeah, like you should be building them up on Ring of Honor television to be the challengers for Sami and Dustin. And knowing all of this and what we're saying right now, Tony Khan will probably just put them on Final Battle against Sammy and Dustin.
Sure.
Like, because we still got 2-3 months before that happens, and he might just do that. But, like, I agree with you. MXM were probably, like, a long-term thing for Ring of Honor, but it was, I'll tell you, it was that first match that they did on Collision against FTR. They yes. got over. They got over. Tony loved it. FTR loved it. MXM loved it. And he was like, you know what? We're going to keep you on AEW television. And he hasn't looked back since. He has not even teased them coming to ROH since then. And we're getting to the point, like I said before, with Outrunners, where the Outrunners are going to be like the only thing holding on to them is this rivalry that they started 2 weeks ago with the Iron Savages. That's the only thing keeping them here, because they have not even talked about going after the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles, because once again, it's a babyface tag team. I 100% agree with you. It does not make any sense with the teams that they were building up. Remember when we were talking about Top Flight being undefeated on ROH TV? We have not seen Top Flight since they left Texas. Infantry, you know, was building up. It was becoming, getting over. They even got teased on the main roster of AEW, getting a victory over House of Black in the tournament earlier in the year. And they just came back to Ring of Honor, and they've been, you know, chucking along, keeping hard working and always getting over. They always get a good response from the fans, but there's been no upward mobility for them, because they should be in contention or winning the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles. But you decided to hit it on Sammy and Dustin, like, seemingly out of nowhere. I will go back to the point. You seemingly did not out of nowhere. Even build.
It could not be more out of nowhere. They weren't a team until they paired up and won. They weren't a team.
You did not even build to it. You did it on the second match that they ever had together.
Ridiculous. Shout out to our friends in MXM, whose AEW episode had me in stitches. That was on like a top five list of mine. That might have been my favorite since Kyle O'Reilly's, which I went back and watched because it was so, so good. But guys, thank you so much for the support. Keep those super chats coming. Leave a thumbs up on this video to help people find us. We actually cracked 2,000 views last week, which was that's an awesome thing for us. So we appreciate the support a lot, a lot, a lot. But we move along here to Abaddon defeating Livia, I believe was her name, with the Black Dahlia. Clearly still building toward Athena. They're at least on the same episode tonight. That's good. But good stuff from them tonight. It's kind of the challenge with Abaddon is how do you get out of the trope of having the same match every time they go out there, right? And I think they're still discovering how to do that a little bit. I can't think of a better way to shatter that mold than having them face Athena. I always love how natural Ian sounds on commentary. We talk about it all the week. Most weeks, and I don't want to pat him on the back for stuff he should be doing too much, but the fluidity of him working in they pronouns is like so smooth and easy. Yeah. And also there's always something with Ian. I've said it a million times, but it shows up every time. And I think it's important because I can't identify what it is, but it is just different with him. Like the weight and respect that he assigns to women's wrestling is exactly the same as men's. Like, there is no difference in the way that he calls things. And that just is something that I've never heard before on commentary. It's not something that everybody should do. It's something that all play-by-play people should do. Like, yeah. Nigel McGuinness, if he wants to talk about kissing Mariah May, like, that makes sense for who Nigel McGuinness is, right? But it stands out to me every time, and it means a lot to me as a fan to hear the respect with which he talks about Athena's title reign. And it was him putting her name in the mix with Samoa Joe and Nigel McGuinness and Bryan Danielson and these things that really called that out. And he was also the only person to acknowledge that on this broadcast that Athena broke the record. So just a shout out to Ian Riccaboni for always being one of the best, but like for that particular thing of being so respectful of women's wrestling and not treating it like we're fucking unicorns. It's just wrestling from a different gender or different genders in this case. But but kind of rinse, lather, repeat, which I think is what you want on the build to Athena. But I'm hoping that the match with Athena brings out a different side of Abaddon that maybe we haven't seen yet.
I agree with you on everything you said, because I really feel like Ian Riccobody doesn't get enough credit for how good he is at that, whether it be, you know, putting in the pronouns when he needs to and not even thinking about it. He just does it so, naturally. Smooth. It just worked well. And, you know, Abaddon, this was an Abaddon matchup. Abaddon, they always are able to dominate in these type of matchups, but I do like that they are more showing more personality.
Yes.
In their matches now, because they're talking more, they're talking a little trash, they're doing the regular gimmick that they always do, but they are showing more of themselves. So I do enjoy that from Abaddon. We saw that a little bit later in the post-match to the other women's matchup on this show. So thumbs up for Abaddon showing more personality, and thumbs up to the commentary team. I do think, yeah, they're doing the right thing with Abaddon. Abaddon just needs to pick up more wind, because I think we're going to get what we said before. I think it was Kate that was like, it's nice to see Abaddon not in Halloween season, but I think they are dragging this feud along because we're not getting the matchup until a month from now on the Halloween edition of Ring of Honor TV.
I'm sure that's the case, but... nice to see. You know, Abaddon was in that tournament too, I believe. Was Abaddon in the tournament or just around at least at the same time? I think was in the tournament. So they have made a concerted effort. They're definitely getting pushed around Halloween time more, as is tradition for Abaddon. So, but I like what they're doing with Abaddon. But you know what else I like, SP3?
What?
Your lists. And we are talking women's wrestling and they wrestling right now. So I think if we're talking about the historic title reign of Athena, now would be a great time to take 5 and 4 off the list.
I do have honorable mention, because she's had Athena's had so much great matches that are worth mentioning. So my honorable mentions is Nyla Rose, the 2 out of 3 falls tables match from February earlier this year. I enjoyed that
match. Fantastic.
My only nitpick of that matchup is that I felt like Nyla Rose should have been a pay-per-view title defense.
Very fair.
Because that rivalry, I enjoyed it way too much. Way more. I'm sorry. From going back to surprise when she beat her up in her training facility. That was great.
Eating an orange with the peel on. It was really fun because Nyla has so much personality, and that was kind of the first taste of face Athena that we got. So we were also just getting this very fresh side of Athena as well. Great call. Great call for the honorable mention there.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours.
CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. My other honorable mention is Hikaru Shida at Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor 2024. Because it was nice that we had these two feuds like back to back. Two former AEW Women's World Champions and showing more of a side of Athena where, you know, she's been like this overpowering, very cocky champion throughout her run. But Hikaru Shida brought out some of like the fear in Athena where she was facing a challenger that she did have some fear against, that she did suffer a loss against. So sure. I wanted to mention that one again. But number five on my list, this is a good one that I think some people have forgotten about. Just how good this was. This is probably the best match of her opponent's career. Kira Hogan, the Chicago Street Fight from June of last year. Just a plunder match, but just so well done with the different spots, the big spots through the table, the chair bridge, the chair doomsday destruction that they went through.
So good.
Oh my God, that was just
so good.
A brutal, hard-hitting matchup that I still think is Kira Hogan's best match of her entire career. Number four for me, going just a couple of months ago, Death Before Dishonor 2024, Athena versus Queen Aminata. Another instance of, you know, just two women going out there and delivering. I think that after when we did the post show for that show, it was just big match Athena. That's what I came up with. The Athena is the Johnny Takeover of Ring of Honor pay-per-views, because this was another instance of her delivering one of her opponent's best matches of her career. I think that was still to this day Aminata's best performance that she's had in a big matchup. And further showing, kind of starting the story of the next chapter of Billy Starks versus Athena, that we're still seeing kind of the fallout from the result of that matchup when Billy Starks caused the distraction, which allowed Lexi Nair to help out Athena in the matchup. And we also talked about on the post show how Athena just comes up with different ways to gain the victory or sneak away with the win. So that's what I remember most from that matchup also.
I love that the four matches that you called out. I was thinking about this because we saw MVP yesterday, right? And the Hurt Business, Hurt Syndicate, Hurt LLC, whatever you want to call them. Hurt Nonprofit, perhaps. Maybe this will be very different. Like, if the idea that is happening is built on championships. I had two ideas. The first one was, I feel like Kira Hogan in that faction, if it's going to be anything similar to what we saw at all, versus like them versus BCC, and we have Marina Shafir doing what she's doing with Kira Hogan, feels like $1 jillion to me. But I was also thinking, if they're trying to load it up with champions, I don't really want Athena in a stable because I think she's such a phenom on her own, but I would not be mad. I would not be mad about Athena palling around with Bobby Lashley, and if Shelton Benjamin's in it or whoever, if there are like people that are holding gold or this is being built on championship accreditation, that could be a very fun way to bring her up. I do feel like Kira Hogan's the call, though, because, like, her personality, I just feel like, is such a screen jumper in such a special way. But excellent start to our list. Excellent start to our list. Guys, keep those super chats coming. We appreciate you so much. We do have Joel Pearl with the TNA post show going solo again this week. Cresta will be back soon. I got to see her at Grand Slam as well. What a light in this world Cresta is. Just a walking embodiment of charisma in that woman. She's incredible. Absolutely adore her. But we get a Diamante interview. I thought that maybe they had forgotten about this, but they pick it back up here with Velvet talking about how great Diamante's work is. But Velvet says that she was in a bigger spot and that it was eating Diamante alive. Diamante said that Velvet has no idea what she would do to get that belt, And Red looked better on her anyway, which I thought was a cute little nod there. Shout out to Red Velvet, who is going to be in CMLL too. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
If you're not allowed to be in AEW, at least you can go over to CMLL and do some work. But for someone who is being raised through wrestling kind of more recently in their career, like AEW was kind of the start of her wrestling career, getting experience all over the world, I think, is something that's really cool and really special. So awesome, awesome, awesome that she's expanding her horizons. Layla Gray also enrolling in the New Japan Dojo, I thought, was something that was very cool that came up over the course of the past week. Like, she could do a million things. She's very talented and very entertaining, but her committing to wrestling like that, I just think, is so cool. So a good promo here. This, I feel like, should be a great match with, like, what we've seen more recently out of Velvet and knowing Diamante's attitude and style. I'm looking forward to this being built out properly. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that Diamante has really kind of stepped up, and the fact that, you know, Layla Hirsch got injured in the Texas Death Match at Death Before Dishonor. This is kind of their way of kind of awarding one of the ladies in that feud, because they had a great lights out matchup before that, then a show stealing Texas Death Match at Death Before Dishonor. So it's good to see kind of Diamante stepping up into the title scene, coming off the heels of that. And, you know, I love the fact that Red Velvet mentioned that in the promo, that this is kind of, you've been seeing that Diamante has stepped up her level, stepped up her in-ring quality. And I think it's going to be one of Red Velvet's kind of better matches, and definitely one of her better title defenses, which I think will be her first title defense, because women's TV title matches are very rare. We see.
Yep, we got one. Who did we get the one against?
I think the one was Red Velvet beating Billy Starks. I think we've only seen one women's TV title defense since Billy Starks became the champion.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think that Red Velvet's only done Proven Ground matches since she won.
What a historic title that we have here on ROH. Killing me! Help me help you, ROH. We move along to Brian Cage, who Lord knows what show he's on or what division he belongs in, but he defeats Alec Price, who I was very excited to see on Ring of Honor. Big Alec Price fan. Also big Alec Price fan. Very, very cool to see here. But that F10 looked nasty. This was one of my more liked Brian Cage matches. He's not always for me. I don't really have a reason. He's just sometimes wrestlers don't like click in with you. I understand what he's able to do is incredibly impressive. I just never really kind of resonated. But I actually really liked this match. This was one of my favorite Brian Cage matches. I thought there was a lot more storytelling and emotion on his face than we normally get. It almost felt like he was more into this match too. Like there were times where almost had like Randy Orton syndrome, where you can tell when Randy's checked out on something or when Randy's into something. This felt almost like that. I felt like he really liked this match, which was very fun. No idea why it was happening. No idea if Cage of Agony is a trio. No idea if Brian Cage is on AEW or ROH. I don't think they freaking know. So, like, they have so many belts and so many roster efficiency issues that they need to address. And I've actually really liked a lot of the TV product of late, but, like, they've got to get the same 8 guys away from the same 8 belts. It's really suffocating, the AEW brand, and then ROH being under that umbrella is a symptom of that. But I know you were excited to see Alec Price here. I was too. What did you think of what we got from him and Brian Cage?
The garbage man is here. Oh man, I got so, this is probably the most excited that I got non-beef segment on Ring of Honor in quite some time. When I saw my boy Alec Price, I got to chop it up with him, got to interview him, as well as like get to know him outside of the ring when I was in Chicago last year for All Out. Great guy, very humble in what he's doing, but in the ring, man, he's just so talented, so athletic. He can just move around the ring so smooth. For someone as young as he is, he shows shows like so much poise in the ring, and he took this opportunity, which he didn't get too much time in the ring, but he stood out. He instantly, I was like, yo, you gotta get him back on this show, because you gave him like what, 3-4 minutes, and he's out here doing cartwheels in the ring, doing flips, landing on his feet, big super kick, the Hurricane Rana, he's bumping like crazy. This was my match of the night. I enjoyed the hell out of this. This was a blast to watch, and I agree with you. This was 100% my favorite Brian Cage matchup in quite some time. Yeah. I enjoyed him and Rocky Romero in Arlington about like a month or two ago when they first started off in Arlington, Texas. But I thought this, in shorter amount of time, I think that had half the, this match had half the amount of time that Rocky Romero and Brian Cage yes. got. I enjoyed this match so much more. And the fact that he kind of put over Alec Price with the way that he finished him off, just power bombing him to death, then doing an F1000 and flipping him onto his head. This was just so much fun to watch. Alec Price is one of the best independent talents out there. If you don't know about Alec Price, and the crowd there didn't know about it because they didn't say it with him, you know, one more time, because he's trash. You gotta say it with them. You gotta know the gimmick. You gotta say it with them. And I think more people, if you highlight them on Ring of Honor, they will get behind him. He will get into his offense, will get into his character work, because he shows all of that out in the ring. I haven't seen too many Alec Price promos, but in the ring, I've gotten his character. I understand yes. it very well. He's got a great tag team with Cole Radrick, the Garbage Man, and he's just, there's so much more for you to see from Alec Price, but this was a good showcase for him in like less than 5 minutes.
Agreed. This was shorter, and I liked it a whole heck of a lot. It was not garbage, ironically. This was not. And Brian Cage did not look like garbage. He did not have a garbage opponent. This was super, super fun. I would love to see him and Cole Radrick around, like as a duo. That would be a really fun tag team to get involved. But some good stuff there. Here's something that is an indictment of ROH's current booking. We got a video recap of the Bunkhouse Brawl match between Sammy Guevara and Dustin Rhodes, who are going by the Sons of Texas, because Texas, versus Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, the Undisputed Kingdom. It is absolutely absurd that this match did not happen on ROH television, and it is absolutely absurd that the tag titles are so absent from ROH that we are getting recaps of stipulation matches that are happening on AEW television, so that you can catch ROH audience up to speed on the ROH belts, because they are so absent from this product. And honestly, I couldn't name you a men's singles contender to save my life. I really couldn't. I have no idea who Mark Briscoe would face if you asked me tomorrow. I have no idea who... Is Atlantis Jr. still the TV title champion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Who's barely been on here.
Who would have known? I have no idea who those guys should face. So when you have to do this with the tag titles, and the only other stuff that we think we're getting on the show is tag action, we at least know who the Iron Savages are. We at least know who the Outrunners are and the Infantry are. We talk about them all the time. I mean, just as an example, like Brian Cage, right? Like I feel like Cage of Agony is the act more, and he just had a singles match on this show. Commander with Johnny TV, are those guys don't feel like they're in contention for anything. We're going to talk about Preston Vance and the Pure match in a little bit, but like none of this feels like anybody's being built for anything. Action Andretti versus Tony Deppen, I have no idea where Action Andretti is as far as a singles competitor or a trios competitor. It's bad. So when you have to catch us up on what's going on with the tag titles on the own show that they belong on, how am I supposed to take your product seriously? And for the love of God, why am I paying $9.99 for it? I don't know. If I wasn't getting paid to do this show and reimbursing things, why am I doing this? I mean, it pays for itself, I guess, with the pay-per-views being included now. But like, man, it's a really, really, really sad state of the product when you have to catch your viewers up on your own tag belts because they are so absent from the show. It bums me out. It bums me out for all the talent who have been working so hard just for them to get hot-shotted to honestly a very entertaining team with Sammy Guevara and Dustin Rhodes. They just didn't exist before they won. So it doesn't make any sense. But I thought it was well produced from what I saw. I was more pissed off that this was happening. So I honestly didn't pay that close of attention to it. I saw the match. I don't need to see the recap of it. And I think it's kind of pathetic, honestly, that it had to be done. But what did you think of this? And did you care or pay attention to it? Because I didn't.
I enjoyed the match. I actually saw the post-match promos because I was watching YouTube, the AEW YouTube, following before Grand Slam last night. So I got to see these promos. So I pretty much saw everything that they showed me. So, no, I wasn't really paying attention to this segment. But my one critique, because I enjoyed the matchup. In a vacuum, I would have even said this was a very good to great matchup, the bunkhouse matchup that they had. But my main nitpick that I said on Collision Discourse over on True Hill Heat, cheap plug, the fact that this would have been a much better matchup for Sammy and Dustin to win the tag team titles, not successfully defend them. If you would have actually built a story and had them lose that first match, have them go back on Ring of Honor and get victories before you did the Bunkhouse Brawl matchup, and then they win the titles there, I would be so much more into Sammy and Dustin as champions if they won in that match instead of a month ago.
I think that's a very, very, very fair point. And I think it's unfair to Sammy Guevara, honestly, because I think he's doing some really good work, but I think people are just so over it at this point, which is unfair to him. If they had given him something compelling to draw into, probably would have been a little bit better received. I did love Dustin in it going, he said something to the effect of, like, I'm so glad you're able to do all of your crazy shit, essentially, because like I don't have it, and to win this match it was required. I thought that was really good. Well, a strength of this episode that was really fun was we talked about Tony Deppen, we talked about Alec Price, some women's enhancement talent, if you want to call it that, Little Mean Kathleen and Christina Marie being on this episode, a very fun tag team and both outstanding competitors in their own right. I'm a big Little Mean Kathleen fan. I think she is fantastic. Them facing Athena and Billy Starks. But before we get into the match, let's flip it over to the list, because we are talking about Athena right now. We are talking about the woman of the promotion, woman of the year, woman of the list, SP3. Who else you got? Let's do 3 and 2.
And this is why, if the PWI did, like, you know, the content creators podcaster 500, Kate would definitely be in the top 10 because she's great at the segues, whether it be for ad reads or for list. So
I have a very specific set of skills, SP3, and it's not nearly as badass as where that quote comes from. It's mostly me throwing it to dick pill segues. That's mostly I have a gift, and it's extremely specific. And not at all valuable, really, in any way, shape, or form. But if you need me to make a dick joke to get to a Bluetooth read, I got you. But
and we got a lot of that on this show, because I did mention during that Iron Savages matchup, my God, did Ian and Caprice go OD on the meat references and meat writing. I thought that was the most I've ever heard meat writing in one wrestling matchup. So. Very kinda appropriate.
To be honest, it made me wish that beef was on this episode. Which I know this you wish for every episode of any wrestling show, but
this is why this show gets a thumbs down. No beef on it. Number 3.
A lot of meat, no beef. Sad.
A lot of meat, no beef. What are we doing? Number 3 on my list. I feel like this was the matchup that was the turning point of Athena's whole title reign. The March 9th, 2023, the second ever episode of Ring of Honor TV on Honor Club, Athena versus Willow Nightingale. I think this was the turning point of Athena's whole title reign. I thought it was the turning point of Willow Nightingale's career trajectory as well. This
That's
was
fair.
The first kind of like breakout matchup for her, which parlayed into all her success that she had throughout the summer of last year that has gone into this year with winning the TBS championship, her great rivalry with Mercedes Moné, the great blow off to the rivalry with Chris Statlander. I think you can all stem it back, all the success that she's gotten winning the CMLL Women's World Championship, NJPW Strong Women's World Championship. It all stems back to March of last year with her and Athena stealing the show with still one of the best Ring of Honor TV on Honor Club matches. And when they were in Universal, the good old days. And that was the matchup that really put Athena's title reign on the map for me. And this is why this was a great segue. Number two, Athena versus Billy Starks, Ring of Honor, Final Battle 2023, the main event, one of the best built-up matches in recent Ring of Honor. I would say the best built-up matchup in the Tony Khan era of Ring of Honor pay-per-views.
Sure.
It was 100%. Athena and Billy Starks, almost a full 6 months of the build-up with the Minion empowerment, the MIT training, and everything that built up to it. And during the graduation, Billy Starks turning on her, and then them going out there and pulling out all the stops. Me and a lot of other people believed this was the night that Billy Starks would become the youngest ever Ring of Honor champion, Ring of Honor Women's World Champion, but she came up short as Athena pulled out the victory with the submission, with the move that is now called, what was it? What did he call it? The Hussy Clutch?
The Hussy Clutch. Loved yes. that. I actually got a retweet from our TNA champion when I called that out, and that is an unbelievable name. Unbelievable name. It made me so happy. Brilliantly clutch. Done. Brilliantly
Very
done.
Well done.
Well, we're going to make you wait for our number one match because we still got a little bit more ROH to talk about. But over 3,000 of you watching right now across all platforms, we thank you so much for tuning in. Another cheap plug for FightfulSelect.com. The Saraya news broke over there. The MVP news broke over there. More to come on that. There is so much happening. If you consider that we still have, just on the AEW side, Wrestle Dream ahead, probably the Continental Classic ahead, World's End, all of these things building up, and that's coming after All In, All Out, Grand Slam. What a cycle on the AEW ROH side. We'll, of course, have Final Battle here on the ROH side specifically, and then, of course, WWE with Survivor Series, and refreshingly, doesn't feel like they just give up on this part of the year anymore. It feels like there's a lot of long-term stories in WWE going into fall. So between that and contract news, job security for me and SP3. All right. Sean's going to be a busy, busy man as usual. So subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It's also how we get paid, quite frankly. So we appreciate the support, especially in an era where people are trying to poach more than ever before. But stick around also for Joel Pearl with the TNA post show. He is flying solo, so any support you can throw his way would be fantastic. But let's talk about this MIT versus Little Mean Kathleen and Christina Marie match. I actually found out about Christina Marie, I think, through Cass, our friend at Body Slam, who SP3, I think the first time I ever met you, I believe, was you were with Cass at GCW at Hammerstein,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So friend of the show, Cass, I told me about Christina Marie. I checked out some of her stuff. I think she's great. And Little Mean Kathleen, a Northeast standout, has done a ton of stuff up in Massachusetts, has done a ton of stuff local to me. So much personality. She is little. She is mean. And she is Kathleen. Going by LMK on ROH, but just such an explosive and fun personality. So much fun. So much fun to have around here, but you get Starks and Athena attacking them after the match. As SP3 alluded to, you get the submission of the Hussy Clutch on Little Mean Kathleen, which is so great. But they get interrupted by Abaddon, and Athena and Starks scoot out of the ring, which keeps Abaddon laying out a forearm on, plenty of forearm strikes, actually, on Billy Starks before catching her with that lariat. And Stark leaves the ring, after the onslaught, but Athena sure did get the heck out of there and kind of leave her stranded here, SP3. So some nice post-match storytelling. Love the enhancement talent that we got tonight. I think Athena was just trying to teach Billy a lesson on how to fend for herself. You know what I mean?
And it's No. I'm pretty sure she said she was just polishing her title.
Story tracks.
Sometimes, you know, you could be in danger, you could be about to fight, but if you have to polish your title, you have to polish your title. Like, I don't understand why Billy was making it such a big deal.
Look, like, if you get yourself in a predicament, that doesn't mean I get to have a lackluster-looking title, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, sorry that you can't fend for yourself, Billy Starks, but Athena can't have a shabby-looking title out there because of that, you know? So, I thought this was a lot of fun. The Hussy Clutch, just such a funny name for a finisher, too. And Athena, I love how expansive her catalog of ways, A, that she can put you away with, and B, believably makes you think that she can put you away with a lot of stuff. It makes matches more suspenseful when it's not just like, oh, the O-face, we're going home. Like, she beats you in a lot of different ways now, and I really appreciate that about her. What'd you think of the match itself?
Yeah, I thought it was a good, like, enhancement type of matchup. Loved Billy Starks pulling out that DDT, like, just springboarding over to across the ropes and hitting that nice little DDT. I thought Athena was going to go for the O-face, but instead just pops. I think it was a little mean Kathleen in the mouth, and then yeah. Does the Hussy Clutch, which, once again, one of the best finishing move names out there.
The mother's milk walked so that the Hussy Clutch could run. Yeah, I think some good stuff there. But we are coming down the home stretch. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Stick around for Joel after we talk about these two matches. Not a lot to say about Commander defeating Johnny TV here with the Celito Lindo. I'm gonna wish Louise was around for that, but
I think you're on pace though. It's the rope walk shooting star press.
There, yes, thank you for that.
This was one of those matches that had a lot of great ideas, but I don't think they executed any of them pretty well. I like both guys, but and what was going on with Johnny TV's hair?
There was a lot to talk about with Johnny TV's hair.
What? I was like, did Taya not comb your hair?
Yeah, is it? Did you not make it into hair and makeup in time? Like, it was looking a little rough around the edges for someone whose look is pristine most of the time.
Yeah.
This felt like they were on overdrive and a lot of stuff just got a little bit sloppy and messy, which is fine. But to your point, it was like they were ships passing in the night on a lot of these moves. It was not the cleanest match. A lot of stuff didn't connect, but it was also very ambitious with what both guys can do. So high risk, unfortunately, the reward not matching up with it as far as what was able to be executed. But if it was something that could click in the future, I think it would be very, very, very fun because it was very creative. It just, the execution, to your point, not super clean, but it also doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot as far as this match had no stakes and neither of them are on a title path. So
It's true. It is what it is.
So, hey, we have a champion who's around sometimes, and that's Lee Moriarty. This actually had a bit of a story going into it. You know I'm a pure sicko. Unfortunately, this match with Preston Vance was not my favorite of pure matches. There wasn't necessarily a whole heck of a lot wrong with it. I just think it was not Preston Vance's wheelhouse. And I feel like Preston Vance is still at a point in his career where that is more of a challenge than a strength. Like, there, I remember I saw Mike Bennett, who I'm like, that guy's not a pure wrestler, but he was great in the pure match that I saw him against. I think it was against Josh Woods, I want to say. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that side to him existed, and this match brought that out. This felt like that side to Preston Vance is still developing, and I don't feel like this match clicked in the way that a lot of pure matches do. I will say Lee Moriarty is just outstanding, and him holding the pure title is excellent. There was a lot of creative stuff that he was able to kind of pull out of the bag, but it just felt like, and I don't mean this in an overly negative way, it felt like Preston Vance couldn't really hang, and I don't think that means he'll never have a good pure match in the future. I don't think it means that he doesn't have plenty to offer in pro wrestling. It just didn't feel like this type of match was a good fit for him as he's reestablishing who he is outside of the Dark Order, outside of, I always want to say LFO and not LFI because I like it when girls stop by for the summer, I guess. But this didn't feel like the establishing program for a guy who's trying to find himself, because pure matches are such a weird and unique and specific thing. I love Lee Moriarty, though. I thought he did an excellent job showcasing a lot of his creativity and what pure matches can bring to the table. Jerry Lynn, Christopher Daniels, and Jimmy Jacobs, the judges for this match. What did you think of our main event?
Yeah, this felt, when I heard this was the main event matchup, I was like, well, I guess, because Preston Vance has been picking up a couple of wins, but it really feels like this is the wrong division for him.
Yeah.
And it feels like if you had a TV champion that wasn't in Mexico every Friday for CMLL, you would probably put him against the TV champion, because that's more of the division that fits his skills. And I agree with you. Not everybody can mesh well and transition into the pure division. And I don't think, you know, Preston Vance was meant for the pure division. So this is nothing on him. This is, once again, we never criticize any of the people on this show, because we want to see all these wrestlers succeed, and all these wrestlers have talents, have their strengths, but you can't put them in a situation which it shows their weakness. So yes. I think that it comes down to the booking that has been our main complaint about this show in general, and it comes down to this as well. But for what it was a decent little matchup. Like you said, Lee Moriarty is just great at this, and he can work with pretty much anyone, even if they're not meant for the pure division.
Sure.
He can adapt his style to whoever he's facing. And I think he did that well, to kind of fight from underneath against Preston Vance and show off his offense, him hitting that big discus lariat. Had me scared for a moment. I was like, are they actually going to have Preston Vance win this?
It looked good. A little Nigel tribute, it felt like.
Yeah, a little Nigel, a little Brody Lee. So yeah, I dig that from him. I like the way that he was hitting them across the barricade, showing that love to Roosh, because Roosh is known for doing that.
Yes.
So I like that. I like that Preston Vance's style has kind of developed into both a tribute to Brody Lee as well as his LFI kind of background. So he's putting it all together, everything that he's learned along the way. But Lee Moriarty is going to be a great peer champion. We just need to see him in there with, like, the Tony Deppens of the world. But yes. Like I said, let's get Tony Deppen back on here and have him go for the peer title. Anthony Henry, despite him taking, you know, a couple of losses, he's got a couple of wins in the tag team division, and you're all known for people winning in the tag team division and then getting a shot at another title that is not the tag team division. So do that with Anthony Henry. There are people on this roster that you could put against Lee Moriarty.
Agreed. Or even people that don't fit that mold, but are not in an establishing phase of who they are. Like, I don't think that's what the pure division is for, but I'll tell you what Joel Pearl is for. And that's to talk about your TNA post show. Hi, Joel.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. How was everyone tonight?
It was good. This was a little bit of a little up and down Z of a, episode of ROH. Definitely better than last week, but definitely not as good as previous weeks. How was TNA?
It was good. This was the last set from Texas, and now they're heading over to Spartanburg. For those who are attending, the show has been moved. It is still in the same venue, but the show is now Sunday and Monday. So for anyone who's in the path of the hurricane that's running through, first of all, stay safe. Second
yes.
of all, you should know that the show has been moved to Sunday and Monday. That is when they will tape. So putting that out there, because TNA has done a pretty good job of trying to get that out there via socials. They didn't get to put it out on tonight's show because the show's already in the can and everything's yeah. already been rendered and done. So this is me trying to just put it out there for them too. SP3, nice t-shirt.
You TNA shill.
That's me.
Just announcing schedule changes. I'm told that makes you a shill. I know.
He's a shill.
Sean was definitely a WWE shill when he was like, hey, it's on FS1 and not Fox today, because people are weird.
Listen, when TNA has invited me to shows, they tend to put me in areas where I can see the entire venue and the entire event. So the least I can do when I give my unbiased opinions about the show is also take into account the fact that when TNA invites me to their events, they put me in an area where I can see the entirety of the show.
Okay, but did MJF give you pickles? Like, did any TNA talent ever give you pickles?
Man, see, no, TNA talent have done nothing but give me guff. That's a difference.
Well, we will let you get to all the Guffin McGuffins that are on this show, but have fun talking some TNA. Stick around for Joel. He's flying solo, so give him some extra love.
I do have my number one
for my list. Foolish of me.
It is Athena versus Willow Nightingale. ROH Death Before Dishonor 2023, the first ever women's matchup, women's main event on a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Hard hitting, great matchup. Athena and Willow Nightingale, they're going to be doing this for a lifetime. That's why we need Athena on AEW television, so she can reignite her feud with Willow Nightingale, because they always deliver. So that's number one.
100%.
Maybe in 2025, after she drops that title to Billy, finally at Final Battle.
We're just biding our time. We're just biding our time until December, so that can happen. And Athena can get her graduation.
Get a graduation cap.
Lexi Nair is going to dethrone Athena at this point.
Let's go. I'm fine with that. Lexi Nair should be running every division.
She through the MIT angle grew as much as anyone. What an incredible, incredible trajectory she's on. But we'll throw it over to Joel. Stick around for the TNA side of things with TNA Shill and favorite of TNA PR, Joel Pearl.
We can go that far.
Enjoy. If you're lucky, Joel will create a nice PowerPoint outlining everything that's going on with the schedule changes. So
we're out of here. Thanks for everybody. Good night.
Bye, guys.
Take care, guys.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.